Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball all around us. It is really nice to have our everyday friend back. It's just nice to have it on at night. It was great to be over at a very successful A's opening day. Monday is going to be the home opener for the San Francisco Giants. They'd like to get their legs underneath them before coming home from San Diego. Diamondbacks knocked them off course early. It is great to have John Morosi from MLB Network and Fox Sports joining us here for a weekly baseball conversation. John, thank you as always, buddy. How you doing?
Danny Damon, I'm here in Detroit. Just watched a very entertaining opener here at Comerica Park. Tigers won that game over the Red Sox. And then, of course, this weekend, big sports couple days in the great city of Detroit. They're closing down Joe Louis Arena on Sunday after 37 years of, well, four Stanley Cups and 25 playoff appearances in a row.
Yeah, the Joe. How are they? Are you going to be there for that one? You're going to go and say
goodbye?
You're going to get a little teary-eyed?
Yes. Yeah, I'll be there. I will be there, yes. I will probably get maybe a little misty-eyed, Damon, because it's listen, I think as we think about our various sports arenas and stadiums that mean something to all of us, again, I think much like, let's say, Candlestick Park, Joe Louis Arena, maybe not an architectural marvel in and of itself, but it represented something very powerful, I think, to the city and the fans that went there. So I think it's probably similar maybe to those things that you would have closing down a Candlestick. I think it's probably something like that because many great teams here, four Stanley Cups, of course,
sure.
Legendary players. And I think so I'll be there, and it certainly will be emotional, I think, for me and many people there as well.
Sharks with that huge upset all the way back. What was that, like 1990?
That's right. I recall that well.
Three or four, whatever that was. Yeah, something like that.
You have an amazing memory, yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, if you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty of the Joe, I'm guessing that it's going to be really hard to get an octopus anywhere because I'm guessing there's a lot of people who are going to buy an octopus to throw on that ice one last time. John?
The great Elsa Vodka, yes.
Absolutely. So, look, Matt Cain is in a weird situation today. If he looks good against the Padres, I don't think he gets much credit for that. We saw Lincecum forget how to pitch and no-hit the Padres all at the same time. But if he looks bad, like, that is the worst sign possible. I don't know if Cain can look really good today, but I do know he can look bad today.
It's a very good point, Damon. And certainly it is a concerning first week for the Giants. And again, my apologies to all the Giants fans after picking them to win the National League. Apparently the Morosi early season hex, Damon, is in full effect.
The Morosi mush.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the good people of San Francisco about this. But it was surprising a bit to me. I thought that collectively against the Diamondbacks, again, the bullpen issues in game one. But as we talk about Matt Cain, you're right. I think it was a very tough competition for him as spring training went underway. And you saw towards the end, Ty Block, of course, Beattie pitched so well during spring training. I think he's got a chance to really be a promising guy for the Giants this year. So I think for Cain, writ large, I agree with you. The premise of your question, I think you're spot on, that really it's almost a lose-lose situation for him. But if things do go the wrong direction for Cain, I really think the Giants, they're covered. This is similar maybe in some respects to the way things looked for Zito towards the end of his career there. I'm not saying they're the exact same situation, but when Zito regressed, there were pitchers that were coming up who were good enough that his regression did not sink those teams. And in fact, they won the World Series a couple times with him on the roster. So I think it's important to maybe draw that parallel where if Cain can't get it done this year on a repeated basis, Block and Beattie should be there. And I think as well, Damon, you look at the way the season has started out. Let's say the Giants continue to scuffle for a couple of weeks. Well, then the notion of letting Cain figure things out, to me, goes by the wayside because then you've got to make that move for the sake of your season. So I think for Matt Cain, it's an important start, certainly this weekend. And obviously, as things move forward, he's got to find a way to produce real results very quickly in what I expect to be a very competitive National League West.
I think Melanson's going to figure it out. I'm not worried about that. I think they're going to get another lefty in that bullpen. I'm not worried about Bobby Evans having a blind spot there. And in the meantime, Bruce Bochy's smart enough to cobble together what he's got. I know it's a bad start. 8 earned runs in 11 innings for the Giants bullpen. The one thing, though, I'm not going to give many, like, oh, well, let's see if you can figure this out, because they haven't figured it out since Barry Bonds stopped playing. Left field. I mean, they haven't had a legit left fielder. I mean, I know Gregor Blanco made a catch in 2012 in Detroit that's supposed to make everything go away, but, like, come on. They need a left fielder. They've been cheap on the left fielder in a long time, and they're 0-17 in left field to start the year. I'm not surprised.
Alarming, and also, Damon, I would say as well in center field with Span's injury situation and Gorkys Hernandez having to play there on an everyday basis here the last couple days. Clearly, that's not ideal either. So I think overall, the offense, I think you look at the middle part of the lineup, and I've been pleased with Pence's performance, you know, at least his ability to get back on the field and show that he's going to be able to, hopefully for him, get back to that 150 game a year plus type player, but the lineup around him, I think we're seeing some concerning spots. Crawford is still Crawford, and at least, you know, Panic again has been healthy, so it's a good sign Panic is back in the lineup. But I'm with you. I think the outfield, the productivity from an offensive standpoint, it needs to be there in maybe a more forceful way than it has been in the past. And remember, when the Giants were able to get by, I think in the past where the left field bat was a little bit light, you had really good, consistent, at least a couple of good years there from Pagan in center. You had Sandoval's offense at third, which you no longer have. And so I think that left field, it's interesting. You see different teams and different structures, Damon, that work well because of the particular mix of players a team has at a given time. And I think for a long time, the Giants could carry a lighter bat in left field, but now maybe that reality is not quite there. They have to readjust to maybe needing some more power back out of left field.
Bob Melvin says he's going to have a closer by committee. Let's hope not, because that sounds like you don't have a closer to me. Who do you think eventually gets the job? Can Casilla return to the position he kind of pitched himself out of in San Francisco last year?
You know, Damon, it's a great question, because I think you look at the way things have gone there with that bullpen to start the season. Of course, Axford going on the DL. Ryan Dull, it looked like it was an interesting situation there with him, where all of a sudden he gets the ball in the ninth inning. Is he a closer or not? I think, to me, Casilla has proven he can do it. He has done it before. Madsen, obviously, still consideration as well. But I'm with you. It was, to me, Damon, an odd situation for a team that had multiple guys that have that track record of closing, that this is the route they've had to go. Usually you'll see it where a team that has truly no one that's got the experience, they have no choice, and they've got to go with someone who's inexperienced. The A's actually have a couple experienced options, but they're not really going with them, at least on a consistent basis. So it is puzzling. Certainly it resulted in a loss, depending on how you want to look at it, earlier in the week, where that was really principally the cause of a defeat earlier in the week against the Angels. So again, to me, it's puzzling. But I would expect Casilla will eventually in time get back there. I think he was able to do the job for a period of time with the Giants last year. I think based on the fact he got the first opportunity there for the A's this year, maybe it's going to be his job there now moving forward.
John Morosi here on 95.7 The Game. A's split with the Angels, and if there's one thing that jumped out was how good Ryan Healy, Chris Davis look in the middle of an order. And we all know that the A's, they love to shake up their batting orders due to the fact they're always playing matchups. It's very rarely the same team over a course of a series, much less a homestand or anything like that. But if we really did see, like, let's say 140 games with Healy and Davis in the middle of a lineup, what do you think you get out of those guys over 140 games together? Would we be looking at north of 60 home runs split between the two of them?
I think so. And Damon, as you were asking the question, the number popped into my head of 70. I mean, I think 70 is a realistic combined number, especially looking at what Davis did last year. And Healy, to me, could be a 30-homer guy. I realize that, you know, it's not easy to hit the ball to the ballpark in Oakland late at night or even on the road in places like Seattle, although certainly Seattle's become a fairer park. Anaheim, tough to hit there at night as well. But I think you look at the way this team is set up, Healy, to me, we talked about it on MLB Network this week, Damon. He reminds me a lot of Troy Gloss.
Not
he's
bad.
Like Gloss. Yeah, he's from Southern California like Gloss. He even looks a little bit like Gloss. The swing is similar. It was funny. Even our research department put together the strikeout rate. The strikeout rate was almost like the same. So it was really interesting, the uncanny resemblance there. And hey, if he has Gloss's career, I'd sign up for that in a second if I'm the A's. And I give him credit. You know, yesterday, with the lefty going, Skaggs for the Angels, Melvin moves him over to first base and plays him there. So you can tell Damon, he's a great teammate because he's able to move around the diamond with a good attitude. Things you really notice about a player, I think that's a very good demonstration for him. And again, Chris Davis, all this guy has done is hit home runs. And again, I think he handled the trade very well coming over from the Milwaukee Brewers. I love the way he handles himself. I'm a big fan of Chris Davis. And I think if you give those two guys a chance to play together and really feed off each other, you could be talking about, as you point out, Damon, one of the best power-hitting duos in the American League, if not all of Major League Baseball right now.
Hey, just looking for building blocks for the future. It'd be nice if there were one of them right in the middle of the A's lineup. John, thank you, man. Great to talk to you as always. Have a fun weekend. Enjoy Detroit. Enjoy the Joe. Enjoy a little Masters and all the baseball. What a great time of the year.
It's a phenomenal time of year, Damon. Again, thanks so much for having me part of the show today. Have a wonderful weekend to you and everybody in the Bay Area.
Always a pleasure. John Morosi, MLB Network, Fox Sports, here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.